This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, 7:17 in the morning, Tuesday, the 27th of April. Now, in about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Ben Sufian, Program Director at Merdeka Centre, on their recently released survey, which found that Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin has an increased approval rating of 67%. So this morning, we are also running a poll on Twitter asking you, will that actually translate to better chances for him and GE15? And there are three options, so do let us know what you think. But in the meantime, let's talk about schools, because according to the Education Minister, Datuk Razzy Jidin, home-based teaching and learning will be implemented for 2 weeks after the Hari Raya holidays in order to reduce the risk of COVID-19 infection spreading after the festivities.
Right. The minister added that after the home-based learning period, students will continue their term holidays from end May to mid-June 12th. Previously, the government had made the decision that if any schools reported even one COVID case, it will be closed for 2 days for sanitation. District health officers will then determine whether affected schools can reopen after 2 days or if the closure has to be extended.
So for more on this, we have on the line with us this morning Harry Tan, Secretary General of the National Union of the Teachers Profession, otherwise known as NUTP. Good morning, Harry. Now, what are your thoughts on the two-week home learning plan after the Hari Raya festivities? Would it be better to start home learning now to prevent cases from spreading?
Well, this is something that the ministry has planned, and we are as executioners of the government's policy. So we will definitely carry out their instructions to the letter. However, whether it should start now or not, I think it depends on the current situation on the ground. Because there's no need for schools in non-red zones to be closed. So therefore, schools can still go on as usual in areas where it is safe, especially like states like Paris or in the interiors where there is no attack of the COVID-19 yet.
So you're saying that actually we don't really need to do a complete national lockdown. It should be selective in terms of its closure?
Yeah, that's exactly my point.
I see.
But the question is, how has the progress of adoption of home learning for public schools been so far? I mean, what are the main challenges here?
All right. We don't have statistics on it. But the main challenges, first of all, teachers are not trained to teach online or not face-to-face, because all our pedagogical learning has always been a face-to-face approach. All right. So now the teachers are suddenly faced with this a matter of teaching, but they are coping well. However, there are also problems that are beyond their control, like, for example, the connectivity from their homes or from the school, and also within the confines of the students' places of residence. And then at the same time, you must understand that a majority of the students are also unable to afford the gadgets needed for this home learning. Of course, there has been the TV, but unfortunately, it's not enough. So this is some of the constraints that the teachers have to face when doing PDPR.
Now, building on that PDPR directive, where they note that even a school with one positive case to close for 2 days, is that really enough to buffer the spread of the virus?
Right. Okay. Right now, we are not in the. We don't have expertise in that field as teachers or as a workers' representative. We leave that approach to the authorities who has the science, the facts, the data, the statistics. Let them make the informed decision on the matter. However, if you are you to see the circular that the teachers on the ground have received, they say that once a case has been reported, the head of the schools will immediately close the schools for 2 days. Now, within the 2 days, they are supposed to refer to the state or to the PKD or the state health department, the district health department. So then in consultation with them, they will see how severe the cases are. Then they may make a decision to extend the closure of the schools. So that instruction or that command has already been given to us at the, on the ground.
And if a school closing is extended, how long are they extended for? And, you know, what kind of SOPs are supposed to be followed then?
All right. If the schools are closed, then the teachers have to fall back on the PDPR, unless the teachers have been, you know, put in ICU or something because they are down with COVID-19. But as long as they are healthy and they can still carry on their classes, so they will have to conduct the classes from their homes. And as I said earlier, we have already been in the confines of our homes for a year because of the MCO. So we are just we are able to carry out the classes. Of course, there will be some hiccups and some glitches here and there. But generally, the teachers are able to conduct PDPR.
Okay. And Harry, you know, like you say, it's been 1 year into this COVID-19 crisis. You know, has there been much engagement between the teachers union and the government in terms of improving the SOPs or improving the situation? Because it seems like, you know, there will still remain the occasional closure of some schools, and that affects pupils and also parents and, of course, teachers.
I'm sorry to report the government or the Ministry of Education has never engaged with us on the issue of SOPs for this, how to overcome this problem together, this COVID-19. All right. Other issues, yes, but not this one. So they believe that the voices of 200,000 teachers may not be heard. And then the voices of 5 million students with their parents, and then we have 100,000 support staff. No, we are the ground people. We are facing the public. We are facing the parents. There are numerous kinds of problems that we need to put forth to the ministry so that whatever policies or whatever SOPs that they come up with are non-controversial. It's accepted by everyone. I think that is the basis of our appeal to the Ministry of Education. Engage with one another so that together we are better.
Very valid point, Harry. And another question is then, you know, what are your thoughts on teachers being considered frontliners and then being given priority for vaccination?
Well, this is something that is prevalent throughout the world. All the teachers we have got together, and then through the UNICEF, the chief executive, Henrietta Ford, has already appealed to all governments to make sure that teachers are, you know, given priority after the frontliners. We got to be fair, the frontliners. After the frontliners, then the teachers should be given priority because we also serve the public. As I said just now, I've given you the statistics. We are facing 5 million students and also the parents who also come to us. And then we have a support staff of 100,000 and we have 450,000 teachers in the country. On top of that, we are also appealing to the government, especially to the Ministry of Higher Education, to also give priority to the lecturers in the community colleges and polytechnics to get the vaccination, of which now we hear from the grassroots, they are not earmarked for this vaccination. Yes, teachers are being given the vaccination first, but unfortunately, the lecturers from the polytechnic and the college community, they are not earmarked for that first phase process.
Harry, do you agree with the hybrid approach where students and teachers attend the schools on a rotational schedule with sanitation in between the rotations?
We agree to any approach that ensures our students get the best or to continue their education so that no one is left behind. Whether it's hybrid, that means, for example, the teacher is teaching in class and then whatever his teachers is being recorded, then after class or after school, then he can put it online on YouTube, then his students can access his lessons. Or we can also have it hybrid online where the teachers can also access the lessons. The students can also access the lessons from home. And those who want to come to school because they need the explanation from the teachers, let them come. And then also, you have also suggestions like rotational school systems. All right. And then we also have suggestions that we have this idea of this grab teacher, all right, whereby they produce the modules, they leave it in the guard houses, the parents come and take, or they send through the community leaders, like, for example, in the interiors, you know, the Tok Batin or whatever it is, they can come to school, collect the materials, and then go back to the houses and then distribute among students. Also, we can also send teachers, you know, out of the school, the timetable system. That means they go maybe to one Hong Kong house or to an interior area for a day or for 2 hours. All right. So these are things that we can do to help fight this pandemic together.
Yeah. Very valid suggestions. Thank you for your time. That was Harry Tan, Secretary General of the National Union of the Teachers Profession, NUTP, giving us some very, I think, almost useful suggestions as to how this, how we can all combat COVID-19 in schools. And I think one point is alarming is that there hasn't been much discussion with NUTP. I mean, they are the front-facing, facing the parents, facing the students, having to deal with all the questions. They should actually, I'm sure they have valuable contribution in terms of how to improve the SOPs.
I wonder why the ministry doesn't want to engage NUTP. Because if you say they're the voice of the teachers, the challenge always, I think, is that they have so many stakeholders to manage, and perhaps they're just thinking, look, unions, perhaps very combative, difficult, and don't want to engage. I don't know. That's for me the troubling thing, because if you, as you said just now, shouting, many good ideas,
yeah,
but no engagement being done.
So and some are, very practical ideas, yeah, right? Because if anybody knows their students, or anybody knows how best to reach out to these students, it's the teachers. Because yes, you can go online, you can so-called have all these syllabus available on the World Wide Web, but practically for a lot of people, they don't have access to that. They don't have Wi-Fi, they don't have a gadget at home. And some of his suggestions, like, you know, leaving information at the school pondo, are very, very useful, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Empowering the local school to do what's right for the local community is probably the best way forward. But up next, we'll be speaking to Nidia Ngiao from Bauer Group Asia on Singapore's cabinet reshuffle. That's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.